and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and said unto an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Ahite's right, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I want to preach this afternoon for a little while, if the Holy Ghost will help me, on thrashing wheat. Now, I'm not talking about thrashing one another. I'm talking about thrashing wheat. I'm talking about working for God, no matter what the circumstances are. I will say again, I'm not talking about beating on one another, Baptist against Baptist, Christian against Christian. But I'm talking about working for God. I mean, when the suns are shining and when the clouds are hanging low, thrashing wheat for God's glory. Not for our glory, not for our name nor the Baptist name, but for the honor and the glory of our Lord in heaven. Now, the Bible said that the Midianites came up into the land and they came to destroy it. Here were the Israelites. Every time they sowed seed, there'd be one of them Midianites. Every time it came up, they'd cut it down and eat it. Every time they sowed seed, they'd bury it and destroy it. I won't tell you now, I've been right there. Every church that I've pastored, it seems like that we've been right there. Every time we started to do something, it looked like that the devil's crowd tried to destroy it. It looked like every time we started to work in the community that the devil would get one of his M's in the community to talk about the church and how rotten it was and how low down the preacher was for preaching the Word of God and preaching against sin and ungodliness. And before you know it, it looked like he'd destroyed everything that we'd tried to do. I worked with the lost people, and it looked like every time that I talked to a lost man, he'd bring up the old deacon that was drinking whiskey on the side, and it looked like he hadn't accomplished anything. But my job's not to worry about what the devils are sowing. My Government jobs the thrash wheat and the sow the grain. Whether it comes up or not is up to God. He's the one that owns the ground, gives the rain. Well, hallelujah, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about what the devils are doing. God has put me into the wheat patch and said, occupy till I come, and praise his name. I got every intention of obeying the Lord and staying in the wheat patch and doing what God would have me to do. Whoopee, hallelujah. I'm glad God has thought enough of me, brother, to give me a job to do. Thank God it may look little to you and the devil, but it's what God gave me to do, and I'm affectionate to do it until he comes again. I don't know much about your church, nor what you're doing where you are. But I know the devil's busy trying to show it. I want you to notice that all them Israelites, them Baptist Israelites, they're up yonder in the cave. I mean, the devil done had them scared to death. And they're up there hiding in the dens of the earth. And said, Lord, if I go down there and preach, they'll run me off. And what I better do, just kind of lay up here in the cave. And if I go down there at all, I must look like I'm sowing seed, or they're liable to get on my case. And so there's all hid up in the dens. They're afraid to preach the Word of God and to say they love the King James Bible. They're afraid to talk and preach on dressing right. And they're afraid to shout. They're afraid that they'd come down there and dig it all up and destroy it. But thank God. Up down yonder, while everybody else is afraid, down yonder there's one man down in the valley, in the wheat patch. Thank God didn't care what the devil and the Midianites thought about what he's doing, but he saw the need. Thank God to be in the wheat field, threshing wheat. Hey, 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 I'm glad, thank God, the devil can't scratch fast enough. How to cover up what God's people will do if they'll be busy in the wheat patch. Glory to his sweet name. I want to say to you preachers right here this afternoon, don't let the devil bother you. I thank God you sow, and don't worry about what the devils are doing. I thank God kick dirt in his face and keep us sowing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Whoopee, I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to worry about that. I can't whip the devil anyhow. But I got a champion, my captain. He's taking care of that. He's already whipped him and endure again. Brother, he's already under sentence, and his days are coming. But my job, thank God, is to keep thrashing wheat. Now, here's old Gideon down here by himself. How nobody else are doing what he's doing. And the devil tapped him on the shoulder and say, don't you think you look kind of dumb? Here you are down here in the field of thrashing and wheat, and nobody else is doing what you're doing. But I hear old Gideon say, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. But after a while, I hear the devil get on him so strong that he said, you know, maybe I am hitting a too strong lick. I mean, maybe if I'd let up a little bit on Sunday morning and wouldn't put up on such a show and get so rough on sin, that maybe I could run it just a little bit easier. I remember, and I've told you this before, and I won't tell you again, I was coming up I-75 in Kentucky, and I pastor in a church in Louisville, and the devil was talking to me. And the devil said, you know, he said, looks like you'd slow up a little bit. And he said, you're wearing yourself out and hooping and hollering out across the country in a few years. You'll be down, and I'll laugh at you. While you're in the hospital, while they're burying you, I'll laugh. I was going up then the next morning. I was I-65. I pastored in Louisville, driving about 60 miles each way to the church. And the devil's still on me. And the God come and got in the car and said, maybe you ought to put me in on the conversation. He said, since I bought you this car and give it to you, and I bought clothes and put on you and saved you, and called you to preach, maybe you ought to let me in. I said, Lord, how you want me to run it? I mean the rest of the journey. I mean down through the country trying to preach the word of God. I'd like for you to let me know how you want me to run the thing. And I was trying to sleep, my wife was driving, and God said, open your eyes. And I became conscious of a semi trying to get around our car. And I opened my eyes and looked on the door of that truck, and it said the all-out trucking company. And God said, that's the way that I want you to run it, so that's the way. I want to tell you, praise God, it don't make any difference what the devil wants. I'm in the all-out trucking business, hammered down, headed for glory. And thank God that's how I'm intending to run the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Amen. About the time the devil talked to the old reaper into slacking up just a little bit, way back up in one of them keys, I hear one of them little young'uns say, he said, I'm hungry. I hear an old man down there in the wheat patch said, hand me the sickle. Bless God, I'm fixing to hit another leg. Well, them little old young'un's hungry, and I'm a fixing to feed him. I won't tell you, preacher, something. You'll have devils in your congregation. They had them back in the New Testament age. They got them today, and they'll still have them when Jesus comes. But I'm going to tell you, if I listened to them, I'd have done quit a long time ago. But I got some little old young'uns in my church, and they love their preacher, and they want to hear the Word of God. And sometimes they don't understand what's going on. But as long as one of them is a crying for more of the Word of God, I'm going to intend to keep on fashion with you. Amen. I told them a while back up yonder in North Carolina, about once every 3 months, if God will help me, I aim to preach against everything that God will put on my mind. I mean, I aim to pull that scorched earth policy to my church on Sunday morning. I aim to preach rougher to them than I do anybody else. And I'd have one of them mornings, and I've been especially rough. My deacons sometime now come and ask me when I get off the road, how you feel this morning? Because they know if I say I'm give out, things liable to happen. But I preached that morning, I was ashamed. I thought, Lord, I've run the whole mess off, and nobody will have anything to do with me. And I just said, everybody stand. And they all stood, and I said, just go ahead and go home. I'm done. I'm not going to give them an invitation. I was afraid they'd just come around and get after me about preaching so rough. And I suddenly became conscious that nobody had moved. And about that time, I did hear people moving, but as little feet. And them young'uns, I got a bunch in my church, it's like a bunch of quail. And I opened my eyes a little bit, and them little birds standing all around me and had a hold of my clothes. And them little old boys and girls said, I love you, preacher. That little old red-headed Josh, just got him a pair of new glasses, and he ain't over that high. And he's looking up at me and smiling, that mischievous smile, saying, I love you, preacher. I said, hold it a minute. Don't nobody go nowhere. Bless God, I'm a fixing to preach a little more. Hallelujah. As long as them little youngins are wanting the word of God and they're crying, I'm hungry, I'm not about to quit thrashing wheat. Amen, glory to God. I'm no doubt somebody in here today, and the devil's about whipped you down and told you there's no use for gold and stay with the old time ways of God. And if he ain't got you to quit preaching, he's about got you to quit jumping and shouting and praising God. I want you to know them young'uns. Our brother, if you'll put on a special show for them on Sunday morning, they'll want what you got. Amen. Some of you ladies in here, the devil's about got you whipped out of being an old-time mama. About got you whipped from being an old-time Christian. You go to dressing, won't be long. You'll be dressing like the world, acting like the world. You won't pray around the house with your youngins anymore. You've gone out yonder somewhere and left your youngins with a babysitter and got a job because it's unfashionable for you not to have as nice a car and a nicer house as the next lady down the road is. And besides that, if your husband's a preacher, you want him to put forth a good image and to wear good clothes, and the devil's about got you whipped. I bless God if has you. I'd have me about one fit here this afternoon and settle her all with God and say, God, I'm a-fixing to get back in the wheat patch and go to thrashing wheat again and be an old-time Christian. All you fellas, look right up here at me just a minute. Look right up here about 2 or 3 inches below this bald head. I want to tell you something. The devil's about got a bunch of lay members absolutely modernized and liberalized out of the wheat field. Or you can still go to church. I mean, but they got church going on up there in the cave. I mean, the music sounds pretty good, and they got what they call a contemporary gospel. That's all in the cave. Where they're doing business, that's down in the wheat patch. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're going to hide, you'll just go ahead and take your name off the church book and decide that you can't do nothing for God like you ought to no more. But I won't tell you what you men ought to do while you're down here this week, and it ought to start last night or this morning or early this afternoon. You ought to clean you off a place to have yourself a personal revival meeting and get your wheat thrasher and go to work for God and not quit shouting and standing for right until Jesus comes. Amen. Down in the wheat patch, a thrashing wheat, thought nobody cared, thought God wasn't paying no attention to what he's doing, and heaven closed its eyes on him and looked over there on the stump, and there sat God. Now I will tell you today, God's very aware of what you're doing. He's also very aware of what you're not doing. Oh, get in, turn around, and saw God. Now, it'd scare a lot of Baptists to death if they ever really feel the presence and the power of God. Did y'all hear what I said? I'm not talking about raising your hands and claiming a healing and saying, I'm talking about getting in where a holy God's walking, where the atmosphere gets so thick that you can't hardly breathe without exhaling and saying, glory, glory, glory to God. I'm talking about getting in. And old Gideon looked over there, and you know what the first words of God was? Here he was down here all by himself. Nobody else was doing anything. And that done talked about him, no doubt, till he is wondering whether he ought to just get out somewhere by himself and commit suicide or go get in the cave himself. And all at once God said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Praise God. Everybody else back up in the cave. God didn't say nothing to them. They was up by being real quiet. They wasn't hurting nobody's feelings. They wasn't rocking no boats. There wasn't none of them disturbing anybody. But God is down there on the stump with that old wheat thrasher. I'm saying, oh, thou mighty man of that. Hallelujah. I want to ask y'all something. Why do I care what the world says about me? I got saved back under a little old lad of a boy. I'm praying down yonder in the pasture fields ahead of that gully underneath a persimmon tree. And man's never done nothing for me but ridicule me. I mean, church members have hurt me worse than anybody else in the world. But God, I've been knowing God now for 40 years, and I never have caught him in the wrong, and he never has when I was a living right. He never has hurt my feelings. I just believe I'll go with him, and whatever you want to do and the rest of the folks, you can go on doing it. I just believe I'll stay with God. Woo! Hallelujah. Gideon said, who in the world are you talking to? He said, now, if you're really God, he said, evidently, you don't know what kind of mess we're in. He said, if you're God, you must be the one that our fathers talked about that delivered them out of the land of Israel. You must be the God that heals the sick and raises the dead. You must be the one down yonder that operates in them other churches if you're really God. But I don't believe you can see what's going on. And my people's up yonder in the cave. But God said, I come to talk to you. Now, don't make no difference what them other folks is doing. You'll just let God talk to you. Preacher, what they're doing in Nashville or Murfreesboro, Hammond, any of them headquarters, you'll just let God talk to you. Amen, amen. See, they don't know what's worth about that little old long-haired boy that's coming through your church the first, probably the only time he slipped in on the back seat and sat down, and after the service he'll be gone. And here you are making all the announcement about the activities. Everything is going on in two or three counties, all the hay rides and the ball games and the wiener rolls. He's come in thinking maybe he can just hear from God. Here you are, got one foot in the cave and one foot out on the hillside, and you don't know which way to go. You're afraid if you really have one preaching fit like you used to have when God first called you, they'll ship you. I tell you what y'all do. Y'all just move out in the wheat field and say, I believe the God that called me, how that shouted me back on his little old lad of a boy when I wasn't afraid of nothing, didn't have nothing to lose. I believe we'll just stay with him. Glory, hallelujah. I said, get out in the wheat patch and pray and preach and live like God would have you see. I'm glad my Lord has counted me worthy to save me and give me a job to do. I just got a little old church up yonder on the side of the road. It wouldn't hold as much as your church would hold. But my people are backwoods in it, and they don't know as much as people in your church. And they've never been taught all about the things in the Word of God. There's a lot of things they don't understand. But there's one thing you do understand. When I go in there on Sunday morning and the choir, we sing two or three songs and have prayer, and I get to praying and God gets a hold of me. And I said to the choir leader, I said, just forget about singing, sit down. I'm a fixing to preach. All them people that don't know nothing. I mean, them ignorant folk that don't know nothing. They'll say, hallelujah. And open their mouths and say, praise on, preacher. And feed us. Hallelujah. I wouldn't lay down to sleep next Sunday night. I'm thinking I hadn't done what God wanted me to. I'd have one wheat thrashing pit. I'd buddy back out across my congregation and shout the praises of God and get loose and show them what it meant to see somebody thrashing wheat for God. He said, Gideon, I chose you. I'm taking you out of the whole crowd. I hear Gideon say, well, what about Tom back at Johnny Key? I mean, he can read better, and he writes the prettiest outline of anybody I'd ever seen. And he can disliterate and get everything right down to time. But how the Holy God said, Gideon, I'm talking to you. He said, I've chosen you how to lead my people. Now, ma'am, there's some ladies in here today that God like to use you as an example in your church. I mean, that everybody else, you ladies and gentlemen, how somebody you remember when you was a little out of a boy, how that in your church there's an older man or an older woman, and you looked up to them. I mean, they lived the holy and separated life. And when they'd come in, probably nobody else knew anything about what you thought, but in your heart and mind, I mean, there's a real Christian. There's somebody in your church that's looking for somebody to get in the wheat patch and go to Christ. And some of you ladies that'll separate yourself from the world, that'll get to looking godly and acting godly on Sunday morning. I mean, not have to go to the altar every time revival hits and brother repent for everything for 2 or 3 years past, but living up close to God, stand down in the wheat patch, shouting the victory. How some of you men, how there's some of them young men that's looking for somebody that'll take the front and stand forth in the battle and keep a threshing wheat. I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can about do what you want to. You can stay back up there in the caves, and that's where all the crowd is. They're all a bunch of clones. They're all doing the same thing every day, you know. They send them a message on what to preach on, they'll preach on it. But I thank God for a few down yonder in the wheat patch that's not even heard what they're supposed to preach on next Sunday morning. They're just waiting on God and thrashing wheat. I wonder what you're going to do, and I wonder when you're going to start. Is it too early in the week for y'all to thrash wheat? Are you going to wait long about Wednesday before some of you go home for a prayer meeting and the other crowd comes in and they're going to stay through it, and then maybe you'll get loose and thrash some wheat? Are we going to do? Oh, boys, I'm glad that I've heard it, and I'm glad it's so. But I sometimes get so tired of hearing what the old crowd used to do, even around Myrtle, Mississippi. God help us, we got the same God of the same wheat patches down here. And praise His holy name. Thank God for them old saints of the thrice wheat in the wheat patch. But hallelujah, they've gone now to their blessed reward. And here me and you are down in the wheat patch. Or up in the caves, one of the two. And I believe I'll just stay down here in the wheat patch. Hallelujah. And have myself a glory fit. Amen, amen. Look like the choir couldn't sing. What I'd look like when I'd look at anybody, they'd turn their head and look down at the floor. And I got up and tried to preach and nothing. You didn't give the invitation, nobody. Finally, I said, you're dismissed. The preacher never would dismiss and said, you just go ahead. And I remember going out that side door and everybody just turned and went back that way. And I went out and got in that old broken down 71 Chevrolet. I had 206,000 miles on it and went a wobbling and a rattling out across the country and winding around. I was a crying. I said, God, are you up there? I said, I'll run into something I can't handle. And I'm a sure need help. Trouble comes,
yes, Lord.
And I can't find an answer.
Yes, Lord.
Lonely nights I've spent in agony,
yes.
And that I can turn to.
Yes.
So here I am begging on my knees.
Yes.
It's me again, Lord.
Yes.
I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve. Now, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.